Here's Andy Udman.
I thought the people opposed to fluoridation were a bunch of wackos. But when I started reading the literature, I was shocked and embarrassed. Embarrassed because I'd been persuaded that people opposed to fluoridation were a little strange. And shocked because some of the information there is extremely disturbing.
Everything you ever wanted to know about fluoride is covered in this exclusive PrisonPlanet.tv interview with Dr. Paul Conant, co-author of The Case Against Fluoride. He covers the history of fluoridation, the collusion of major industries to put certified toxic waste into your drinking water, why the government agencies refuse to conduct scientific studies, and how he and others across North America are trying to end this barbaric practice. You will never look at tap water the same way again.
There is no doubt that fluoride damages health because millions of people in India, China, and parts of Africa have had their health ruined by fluoride. The people have been crippled by fluoride. Hello, my name is Paul Conant, Professor Paul Conant. I taught chemistry for 23 years at St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York. My specialty was environmental chemistry and toxicology. Before that, I got my PhD in chemistry from Dartmouth and my undergraduate degree from Cambridge University in England.
I get asked all the time, Pam, fluoride. Andy, when are you and Pam going to get the fluoride out of the water in London? I say, well, it's not us that's going to do it. It's people like Dr. Paul Conant. Nobody's smarter. Nobody has researched this more. And nobody is more committed.
That's right.
And so we're going to hook up with Dr. Paul Conant in just a moment. We just got him to introduce himself. I actually grabbed that clip off of one of his YouTube videos. And Pam, we have another guest this morning. Also, an anti-fluoride crusader. Would you introduce Dr. Perron?
Yes, it's Dr. Gilles Perron. He's a naturopathic doctor, and he's the co-author of the book Fluoridation: Autopsy of a Scientific Error. And Dr. Perron is a real heavy hitter in terms of what he's been able to accomplish in Quebec, the province of Quebec.
Absolutely, where they're almost completing.
They're 3% fluoridation, and it's going down. It sounds like it's going to be down to 2% fluoridation for the entire province.
Just before
soon.
We bring these two gentlemen on, share the quote from our counselor Joe Swan about the co-author of Dr. Perron's book. Fluoridation autopsy.
Right. This was quite strange at the fluoridation vote, you know, for the city councilor. Joe Swan, when he got up to make his vote, he said that he was basing his decision to keep fluoridation in the water because somebody called him a murderer. That was his number one reason why he was keeping fluoridation in London city water. And I was actually, you know, quite shocked by this because Dr. Morin, who is the co-author of Gilles Perron's book, is a world-renowned toxicologist, number one. And number two, he actually worked for the Ministry of the Environment in Quebec. So he's a very, very well-respected scientist. And it was Dr. Morin who said anybody putting this artificial water fluoridation in city water is essentially committing an act of murder by putting it in there. So it's bizarre to me that Joe Swan didn't actually investigate who this person was who accused people of murder for putting this toxic substance in a water supply.
Dr. Perron, welcome to our crazy town here in London, Ontario.
Pleased to have you, Mr. Hussman. We will be talking about the parliamentary commission going on in Quebec in a few weeks, and we'll be talking about just about the fact that fluoride that's added in water is illegal to be added, so it's a crime.
Wow. Dr. Perron, you almost have fluoride out of the water completely in Quebec, correct?
Correct, and that's what we're going to be aiming. We have placed on the Quebec Assembly a petition in December and January asking the government to stop fluoridation. Because we have asked a petition for that, automatically the Parliament have to form a parliamentary commission on the health and social service on fluoridation. And this will be going on next Monday and next Tuesday, April the 2nd and April the 23rd.
So that's coming up very, very soon. And that's a very, very important date to keep in mind. Dr. Perron, you know Dr. Conant?
Yes, we're working together. And Dr. Conant is coming in for the parliamentary commission next week.
Okay,
fantastic.
Then would you be, even after all the credentials we just heard about Dr. Conant, would you be so kind as to introduce Dr. Conant?
Oh, I've been working with Dr. Conant since many years, so he's a very renowned, like I said, doctor in chemistry, and I've been fighting fluoridation on a very scientific ground, researching and reviewing all the literature, and is working with big teams of PhDs and doctors and medical doctors. So he has wrote a very good book, The Case Against Fluoridation, with all the scientific information supply in it.
Dr. Connett, welcome to the show this morning.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Pam.
Good morning.
Hi, Gilles.
I consider you a friend, Dr. Connett, for a couple of reasons. First of all, you're a fine chap. You've been to London. We've had lunch. But secondly, I have three grandchildren, and you're working very hard to make them healthier. And I think that that makes you my friend. We're not going to focus so much today on the negative effects of fluoride, because that would take the next 5 years. Dr. Connett, I just printed off from the Internet. My printer is having a rest right now after printing off your 50 reasons why we need to get fluoride out of our water. I want to focus more this morning, along with Pam, on what success we're having globally in this battle. And I wonder, Dr. Connett, if, I mean, I can't believe you're talking to us not from, you know, your cozy living room, but from California, is it?
That's right. I'm talking to you from Sonoma County, California. They're considering starting fluoridation, would you believe, in this wine country in California. But all around them, fluoridation is being questioned. It's being questioned in San Francisco. We had a march and a presentation there just a few weeks ago. In Marin County, they're questioning it. And, of course, from around the world, fluoridation is crumbling. Australia, in Queensland, the new premier lifted the mandatory requirement. And there's been a stampede from towns in Queensland, councils in Queensland, to stop fluoridation. 11 regional councils, that's about 50 different towns, have stopped fluoridation in Queensland, Australia. A few days ago, Israel, the new Minister of Health in Israel, is a former mayor of a town where she opposed fluoridation, and she's announced the lifting of mandatory fluoridation in Israel. And in Ireland, very exciting things are happening. The children are leading the fight there. There's a group of young girls called Little Miss Fluorides, and they're really stirring things up. Can you imagine Little Miss Fluorides having demonstrations throughout Ireland and taking it to the Houses of Parliament? We had, going back to the United States, we had a major victory in Wichita, Kansas, where the promoters spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to get fluoridation in. The citizens voted it out. There's going to be a vote in Portland in May 21st. And we found out yesterday that the promoters are paying like $20,000 to different groups. All over, in total, over $100,000 is being paid to groups to say yes to fluoridation. So they're actually having to buy their votes. They're absolutely desperate. Just one thing on the scientific front. Last July of 2012, there was a meta-analysis from Harvard University confirming our concerns about fluoride lowering IQ. They did a meta-analysis of 27 studies. They found that 26 of the 27 studies showed a lowering of IQ in the high fluoride villages and not so high. 8 of the villages had fluoride levels less than 3 parts per million, no margin of safety. The author of that study was none other than one of the authors was Philip Grandjean from Denmark, but he teaches at Harvard University. He's world famous for his work on mercury, and he's now saying that fluoride goes along with lead and mercury as contributing to brain drain. Chemical brain drain is how he describes it. He has a book coming out. It's just come out this month. I think it's called Only One Chance. And you should have Philip Grandjean on your program.
We will.
Because he's a man of enormous stature, and he recognizes that if we have a small shift in IQ in the whole population, we will halve the number of geniuses in our society. We will double the number of mentally handicapped.
Now, Dr. Perrin, you're actually going to this parliamentary commission to talk about the differences between the fluorides and what Health Canada has approved versus what they have not approved of. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Sure. We have asked with a process like the Freedom of Information, it's called petition, and we asked the federal government, Health Canada, to supply information on the type of fluoride. And Health Canada have came out that there's two types of fluoride. There's one fluoride, which is pharmaceutical. And the only product recognized is sodium fluoride of pharmaceutical grade. And this is approved as a drug or as a natural health product. And a natural health product or a subdivision of drug section. So if we would have this type of fluoride in water, it would be much purer and much less toxic. It would not be contaminated with heavy metals like lead and arsenic. In ordinary type of fluoride, the commercial type or industrial type, there's about 30 to 35 gram of fluoride by kilogram of the chemical. So there's two types. So the first type is pharmaceutical, and the other type is industrial type.
Mm-hmm.
The industrial type is isn't for human consumption. It's labeled on it. It's labeled for industrial use only. It is manufactured, packaged, transported, and stored in unsanitary condition. It's unfit for food purpose. So it's not a food. It's not a nutrient. It's a chemical. And it's not approved by Health Canada for a nutritional function or for a therapeutic function like reducing dental decay.
Doctor, tell me they're not putting that in our water.
That's exactly what they're putting in the water. That is what is added in London water.
And so where are the toxicology studies that prove that this is safe?
There's no. Any product that's added as a chemical in the water have to have toxicology review on the product. These products have not been tested.
But our health officials assure us that studies have been done, and they assure us that this product is safe.
We have asked Health Canada to supply the information. Health Canada says the company does it. The company has a note on it, says we don't do the chemical toxicology test on it. It's done by the federal government. So the federal government sends everybody to the company, and everybody sends the company sent us back to the government.
Dr.
No
Prada,
one does the test.
I just want to jump in and react to Dr. Connett. Dr. Connett, I want to give you a high five on the radio because I am so excited and encouraged by what you have just said about how support for fluoride is literally crumbling around the world. Do you see a tipping point here where people are going to look around the world, see the tremendous progress that you've made and others, convincing people to get out of the fluoride in the water, and it'll become a no-brainer?
I think we are reaching the tipping point. You know, every day I see new people getting involved, people that are taking a second look at the literature, and they are astounded. They've accepted these statements from our bureaucrats at face value. They start to read the literature, and I'm talking about scientists now and doctors. They're looking at the literature and they say, we've got to stop this. This is crazy. This thing works topically. If you want fluoride, it's readily available. Brush it on your teeth and spit it out. But don't swallow it and don't put it in the drinking water. Don't force it on people. You know, what Giles was just saying about the industrial grade chemicals, a debate has raged for years and years and years about whether fluoride is a carcinogen, where the fluoride causes cancer. But these industrial chemicals contain arsenic, which is a known human carcinogen. So whilst we argue about whether fluoride is increasing cancer rates, by using these industrial grade chemicals, you are inevitably going to increase cancer rates. Arsenic, no safe level of arsenic. Any level of arsenic is going to increase population cancer rates. And that's what Health Canada is allowing right now, and it should stop.
Dr. Connett, last Friday, I attended the funeral of my 30-year-old niece, married 5 years, has been battling leukemia the last 2 years. We thought she had come through it. She took chemotherapy. She was so convinced that she had beaten cancer that she and her husband, Derek, adopted a child. That child's birthday party is set for later this week, but Mom won't be there because we buried her last Friday. And the expression I heard at the funeral over and over and over again is, why is cancer killing so many people? So the question to you, Dr. Condit, is Well, why are so many people dying of cancer?
Well, it's a tragedy, and it's heartbreaking when you hear a story like that. It's one thing to die in your 70s or 80s, but at 30, a mother, this is terrible. Look, we don't know all the contributing factors to cancer. We don't know that. But what we do know is that fluoridation and these fluoridating chemicals are avoidable. You just need a strong wrist to turn off the tap at the public waterworks, and one source of increasing cancer rates is over. Why on earth don't people take the easy route? If there's a known source of causing cancer that you can stop, and you can stop it tomorrow, it is criminal not to do that.
Let's talk about the cost cutting, though. I mean, our governments are trying to cut costs these days, and a lot of these decisions that are being made internationally involve this notion of cutting costs.
If you want to cut costs, take out all the dishonest people that are working for our regulatory agencies. Save their salaries. If they want to go and work for the chemical industry, let them go work for the chemical industry. If they want to work for the American Dental Association, let them go and work for the American Dental Association. But what I find disgusting is that the whole chain of command in Canada, from Health Canada down to your district health boards and your medical officers of health, they are spinning this. They're giving the citizens propaganda, and we shouldn't be paying high salaries for propaganda. If a local medical officer of health is going to give information to decision makers, it should be objective. It should be balanced. It should be scientifically based. And when challenged, they should be prepared to debate this in public. And if they're not prepared to do that, let the Canadian taxpayers take the money back. Take the money back from Dr. Peter Cooney, who's earning a fortune going around propagandizing this around the country, the chief dental officer. It's absolutely outrageous. That's where we could save money. Cut back. Get rid of these politicians that are pretending to be health officials.
Dr. Conant, if you and I went for lunch and had an argument about fluoride or something else, and I punched you, and it only hurt mildly, you could charge me with assault. But these people who are putting the fluoride in their water, they can be destroying the health of my three grandchildren and children all over the city of London, and they pay no penalty.
Penalty, yeah.
To me, they should be in prison.
Yeah, well, you know, we could, obviously there's going to be a lot of argument about how big the risks are, but no risk is acceptable if it's avoidable, and that's the whole thing. We don't have to do this. This is something that we are doing to ourselves. This isn't some difficult problem of grappling with pollution from some industry that we rely upon, and therefore if we shut down the industry, we're going to lose jobs. This is something that we are doing to ourselves. We are taking an industrial chemical waste, and we're putting it in the drinking water, and we know that in that waste is arsenic, which is going to increase cancer rates, and we know that the key component, fluoride, is highly likely to be reducing the IQ of our children.
We
certainly
are,
no margin of safety to protect all our children.
We are almost out of time. Dr. Prahn, let me ask you this. You've written the book Fluoridation Autopsy of a Scientific Error. Are you encouraged by what you hear from Dr. Conant about how support for fluoride in our water is, as Dr. Conant put it, crumbling around the world?
Yeah, and especially here in Quebec, as we're going to have a public parliamentary commission, there's over 25 submissions that have been presented by PhDs and doctors and things like that that tells that fluoridation will be causing problem. But also, we're going to be pointing out that the product they're putting in the water is illegal to be added because it's not a food grade. You cannot add a product for a nutritional purpose or for a therapeutic purpose in the water if the product is unfit for human consumption.
Dr. Conant, a crime. There it is.
Yeah, because you're doing something illegal. If you're doing something illegal, if you're adding something which is a toxic substance to the water, and this has not been approved by Health Canada for that purpose, you're doing a crime.
Dr. Conant, we're almost out of time, but I want to give you just a 1 minute to predict. You being probably the world's foremost crusader against fluoride. You're very excited about the progress that is now being made. What do you see happening over the next 5 years in terms of the world banning fluoride? And then if the whole world does it, the possibility that London, Ontario might even do it.
Yeah. No, I think it's highly likely. I think fluoridation will be over within five years. Can I just say quickly, Andy, I'm going to be speaking in Toronto on next Monday, April the 22nd, Quebec City, as you've heard from Gilles at that commission, and April 24th, I'll be back to speak in Port Hope. And so I think Pam knows Karen Buck. She can find out from Karen exactly where I'm speaking on those things. But there, yes, one thing which is exciting to me in a negative sense is that I've just been to Australia and New Zealand. Not one single doctor, dentist, scientist, or public health official was prepared to debate me in public in Australia, in New Zealand, and of course never in Canada. Peter Cooney keeps wriggling out of the challenges to debate. But I think that tells you something. On the one hand, you have these people assuring everyone that it's perfectly safe, but when they have the chance to squash me like a little ant, they could step on me, this irritating professor from New York. They could squash me in a debate and show where I'm wrong, but they won't do that, Andy. They won't debate me in public. You know that. We couldn't get a debate in London, Ontario, with any of those promoters in London.
Dr. Conant, I don't know what your time frame is. I do have to take a break for a news update. Are you able to stay with us a couple moments? If you have to leave, I understand.
No, I can stay. I've got a plane later on, but I can still make it. Yep.
Okay, terrific. We'll be back with Dr. Perrant and Dr. Conant and Pam, because we're going to get fluoride out of our water. And let's do it sooner rather than later. And we're going to open up the phone lines when we come back in just a moment to hear from you right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJB.
Everything you ever wanted to know about fluoride is covered in this exclusive PrisonPlanet.tv interview with Dr. Paul Conant, co-author of The Case Against Fluoride. He covers the history of fluoridation, the collusion of major industries to put certified toxic waste into your drinking water, why the government agencies refuse to conduct scientific studies, and how he and others across North America are trying to end this barbaric practice. You will never look at tap water the same way again.
And you know what? I love that intro. Alex, what's his name?
Alex Jones,
who has his internet radio show. He's leading the crusade on this. Pam, we're getting fluoride out of the water. Folks, if you have just joined us, we just heard some extraordinary radio from Dr. Paul Conant, who's been to London, of course, in his anti-fluoride campaign. Just listen to the update he gave us just moments ago about what's happening, not in London, Ontario, where we have our heads in the sand and where our former assistant medical officer of health couldn't even be bothered to read Dr. Conant's book, just did a quick skim of it. And I noticed she didn't get chosen as a new medical officer of health. I wonder if there's a connection there. Our new medical officer of health, Dr. Chris Mackey, Heather Gingrich, wasn't it, on this show?
That's right.
She
yeah.
challenged him to a debate.
A debate, yeah. And Dr. Conant challenged Dr. Warshawski or Dr. Pollitt to a debate. And so far, there's been no debate. There was a City Hall sort of forum, but that was not a formal debate.
What debate is there to be had? Listen to what is happening around the world. Dr. Conant gave us this update. It's 1 minute long. Just listen to it. Here we go.
Fluoridation is being questioned. It's being questioned in San Francisco. We had a march and a presentation there just a few weeks ago. In Marin County, they're questioning it. And of course, from around the world, fluoridation is crumbling. Australia, in Queensland, the new premier lifted the mandatory requirement. And there's been a stampede from towns in Queensland, councils in Queensland, to stop fluoridation. 11 regional councils, that's about 50 different towns, have stopped fluoridation in Queensland, Australia. A few days ago, Israel, the new Minister of Health in Israel, is a former mayor of a town where she opposed fluoridation, and she's announced the lifting of mandatory fluoridation in Israel. And in Ireland, very exciting things are happening. The children are leading the fight there. There's a group of young girls called Little Miss Fluoride, and they're really stirring things up. Can you imagine Little Miss Fluoride having demonstrations throughout Ireland and taking it to the Houses of Parliament?
Absolutely exciting news this morning in the battle against fluoride. Now, I'm just reading what Ryan just printed on the screen. We have on the screen Jean calling from, is it Quebec City, Jean?
Yes, for sure. I'm.
Is this doctor? Is this Dr. Morin? Is this Dr. Morin?
My name is Jean-François Godet from Quebec.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I would like to give a comment on about the fluoridation.
Absolutely.
Okay, so can I go?
Yes, go.
Can I speak? Okay. First, I'm living in Trois-Rivières, Quebec, a city which is fluoride since 1962. About 50 years of intoxication of fluoridation. My daughter had severe dental fluorosis.
That's right, the modeling on the teeth, yes.
Fluoridation a few years ago. And I had one question that everybody should ask themselves is if you go on a drugstore and you see a bottle of medication in which it is written for industrial use only, would you buy this stuff, this medication? Would the pharmacist allow it to sell this stuff? I say that because the city in front of Trois-Rivières-Bécancour also was fluoridated. Made fluoridation in its water, and they use the fluoride coming from China by Minchem Company, and on the container it is written for industrial use only. So how could a doctor make this prescription for dental care to somebody when it is not a pharmaceutical grade and when it is an industrial waste? So I think it is scandalous.
That's right.
That's why the city of Bécancour stopped fluoridation, because they see that it is a nonsense. It is a spilling.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's all a good point. And Dr. Perrand, you must have a lot to say on that issue, because that's what you're working on with regards to this upcoming parliamentary commission.
That's right. So we're going to be telling the government that if the product is unfit for human consumption because the sanitary condition for the manufacturing, for the packaging, for the transportation and the storing of the chemicals is unfit for human consumption. If you have food which is contaminated with toxic substance, if it's not prepared in sanitary condition, it's illegal to sell it.
Wow.
The fluoride chemical is unfit for human consumption.
Heather's on the line, Andy, and she can give a rundown. She does a presentation talking about this industrial waste product. I wonder if we can just bring Heather on for a second if she's there.
Hi, Heather.
Hello.
What did you think of Dr. Connett's update about the success that we're having in getting rid of fluoride literally around the world?
It's so encouraging. And the thing that probably excites me most is when I hear about the young people, and especially the women, fighting back and saying, hey, you policy people way up top there, you have totally lost touch with what's important and what your job is, and that's to keep us safe from, industrial contaminants and things like that. So I think we're seeing this in a lot of regions now where we're really starting to question, are our public institutions actually serving the interest of the public, or are they serving the interest of corporations?
Heather, I should mention again, as people know who listen to the show regularly, but I should mention you are a mom in Ingersoll. But don't underestimate a mom, folks, because Heather has her PhD, and she is ferocious, travels the world, speaks. And I guess what you're saying, Heather, you're standing shoulder to shoulder with Dr. Connett and Dr. Perrant.
Oh, absolutely. But I have to correct you. When I'm working on my PhD, don't have my PhD yet. But what I'm doing for my PhD, because I went through the pain and agony of watching my master's thesis, which I fought very hard to get finished with three children under the age of five, and just collect dust on the shelf. I said, you know what? I worked hard. There was good information that all caregivers of small children needed to know in that master's thesis, and it's not getting out. So what I did for the PhD is I said, you know what? I am going to embrace my inner geek, my inner tech geek, and I am part of a movement, a growing global movement of what we call hacker moms. And I developed a smartphone app because I got sick of bashing my head against the brick wall of medical doctors who are so far out of the loop in terms of the new research and the new studies and the new information that we had. I said, you know, I'm not even going to deal with you because I don't have the time. So what I did is I'm in the middle of developing a smartphone app that will provide caregivers of formula-fed infants the information that they need to crunch the dose for their individual child, see that their child is being overdosed by artificial water fluoridation, and then go with that information to their healthcare team, to their legal team, to their municipal counselors, the people that they're voting for. Just cut the crap, you know? Just do the math. The numbers don't lie. People will lie all the time for a variety of reasons. And I say, after having done this for many years and standing shoulder to shoulder with caregivers of children, because the Canadian Environmental Law Association spent 2 years reviewing the research because they're trying to figure out what's going on with all this cancer, diabetes, heart disease, mental health, reproductive disorders, all these kinds of things. And what the conclusion that they came to was that it was a result of early childhood exposures to environmental toxins. Can you imagine?
Okay. Heather, I so much appreciate your input, but we have to move on. I want to go to Dr. Connett with that exciting update about what's happening around the world. Dr. Connett, is there hope for London, Ontario, that we have an election coming up, not too a distant future, next year, that we will get fluoride out of the water?
Yes, and I want to extend this message out for those in London, Ontario, who want to keep fluoridation going, and are just hoping that I'm going to pass away soon. I'm in my 70s. I want to direct them to our webpage, fluoridealert.org. There you will see my son give a brilliant 20-minute video presentation on 10 facts on fluoride, a wonderful video backed up with a five-page booklet explaining everything. So there is the toolkit for anybody that wants the facts on fluoride and to educate their friends, their neighbors. We've got to beat this one open mind and one community at a time, and to do that, we need good education. This is a great tool. Go to fluoridealert.org and look at that video from my son. So just so if people think that I'm going to disappear at some point, my son is waiting. He's better than I am. He's more articulate than I am. I think Pam has actually met him at some point. But just to underline what Heather said about advice to parents about keeping fluoride away from their babies, we have two things. We have a scientific fact. The level of fluoride in mother's milk is extremely low, 0.004 parts per million. So when you bottle feed your baby in London, Ontario, one of these other fluoridated communities, you're giving your baby about 200 times more fluoride than nature intended. So we know we've got a problem at the front end here with the scientific information. And then we've got the fact that today 41% of American children have dental fluorosis, which is the telltale biomarker that children have been overexposed to fluoride. So on the one hand, we know they're getting more fluoride than nature intended, and on the other hand, we're seeing the damage. The only thing that people are not seeing is what else is happening to the body. They can't deny dental fluorosis. It's happening. And the caller from Quebec City was talking about himself having dental fluorosis, and I think maybe his doctor as well. Those are the visible signs that they and our children are getting too much fluoride. And now, join the dots. Now we have a review from Harvard University by Philip Grandjean and others, a world's leading epidemiologist. He did the epidemiology on mercury from the Faroes Islands, which indicated that a big fish eaters will get too much mercury and impact their children's development. And don't forget, also, one other little fact, fluoride crosses the placenta membrane, the placenta. So if a pregnant woman is being exposed to mercury, lead, and fluoride, then it's going to go to the fetus in the womb.
Doctor, I have to jump in. We want to provide the opportunity for our callers to ask a question. Kim, go ahead. A question or comment for Dr. Conant or Dr. Perrant?
My name is Kim, and I'm from Windsor, where we just ended fluoridation early this year, and I worked on the campaign to educate our council on the facts and science on fluoridation. And I'd love this opportunity to publicly thank Paul and Jill. They've been an amazing resource of information. But I wanted to share with safe water advocates that are listening to this how important it is for us to understand what's going on in Quebec right now, because I think what I've seen in Windsor is that our fluoridation lobbyists are misleading councils on Quebec and using Quebec as the opposite of what's happening. Their councils are being lied to, and there's three specific things. They're being told that Quebec is moving towards, this was on our reports given to our councils, Quebec is moving towards mandatory fluoridation, which couldn't be further from the truth. They're actually moving away from fluoridation. And we're being told that Dorval, Quebec, is an example of fluoridation working, and so while the peer-reviewed published studies that prove fluoridation is unnecessary are being ignored, and instead we have these claims that Dorval is the reason we should keep fluoridation, which if people find out Dorval was not a scientific study, it does not prove fluoridation worked. And then the final thing that I see happening out of Quebec that's being used here, when we were bringing up the environmental impacts, instead of them looking at our source water system, which down here is the Detroit River, very small little river, instead of them actually studying and doing baseline studies on the effects of fluoridation after 50 years on our environment, they're using a study out of Quebec saying that fluoridation doesn't impact the environment. And again, if safe water advocates do their homework, the study they're using is a theoretical study. There's no data being taken.
Kim, I have to jump in because we are running short of time. I have one quick question before we let you go. Why is it that you have a smarter city council than we do, smart enough to get fluoride out of the water? Why is it?
We're very fortunate. Our council really listened to the evidence. And as if you look at what they've said from a policy perspective, it is unethical to use the water supply to deliver medication that is harmful to some people.
Congratulations to you and Windsor. We have to let you go. Diane, you have a comment?
Yes, I want to know, is it safe for us when we go to the dentist to have the fluoride rinses for ourselves and for our children, and also the toothpaste that we use every single day, is that safe, and as well as the mouthwash that says it has fluoride in it?
Diane, great question. We'll be back with the answer right after this.
I thought the people opposed to fluoridation were a bunch of wackos. But when I started reading the literature, I was shocked and embarrassed. Embarrassed because I'd been persuaded that people opposed to fluoridation were a little strange. And shocked because some of the information there is extremely disturbing.
We only have a couple of moments left, so we're going to have to be quick. Diane had a question just before the break. Dr. Connett, you heard Diane's question, and Carolyn has a similar question. My dentist insists that the fluoride she wants to brush on my teeth is safe and not the fluoride in the water. Could you clarify?
Well, first of all, it's much better to have topical applications of fluoride than swallowing it. But I would only support the application of fluoride to the teeth if put on with a paintbrush, but very carefully brushed on, because inevitably with mouthwashes, with toothpaste, you're going to swallow some of the fluoride. It's going to go through the gums, and that's going to increase, if you're a child, your increased risk of dental fluorosis, and for goodness knows what else.
So I remember when I was a kid, Paul. When I was a kid and I went for fluoride treatment, I had to rinse my mouth three times to get it out of the mouth.
And what does it say on the side of the tooth?
It says, do not swallow.
Okay, we literally have 90 seconds left. Dr. Perron in Quebec, just really quickly, update us on the battle you're having in Quebec and your reaction to the good news about how we're getting rid of fluoride literally around the
world. That's why the reason why we do a parliamentary commission to end fluoridation right away. Instead of fighting city by cities, and we have to spend a lot of money doing it without being founded for it. So if we make it completely to stop or the cessation of fluoridation in Quebec, that will be the first state in North America doing it. And that's the provincial government that says at the last election that they would stop fluoridation if they would be elected.
Wow.
So they're forced with that situation. And by the way, I would just want to tell you that we have asked by Freedom of Information the data of the water concentration in Dorval, and the average concentration with the fluoridation is at 0.30.
Oh, my God.
We're winning the war. We're winning the war. We're winning the war. Dr. Connett, a parting word.
Andy, just keep up what you're doing. We need to win this one open mind at a time, and yours is a gigantic open mind in London, Ontario. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you,
yes,
Jill.
We've got to
thank
do
you,
this.
Yeah,
we've
thanks.
Got to do this. It's something that we're doing to ourselves. We don't have to do it to ourselves. Just switch the tap off.
Doctor, really quick, a little bit of medical advice. Bryna Warshawski, you know, your good friend at the Middlesex London Health Unit, after she heard that there's a young Dr. Connett who's even better than Dr. Paul Connett, she's got a splitting headache. Any particular aspirin you would recommend?
Yes, if you want to continue this nonsense, debate it in public.
And you've offered to debate.
Yes.
There's been no debate.
If you can't defend what you believe, then it's time to give up that belief.
Okay, Dr. Connett, we have to let you go. Thank you so much. Dr. Prawn, thank you so much for joining
us.
You're
so welcome.
And Dr. Connett, always a pleasure, and to get up that early in California to join us. A high five to you, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy.
Okay, Pam, last word goes to you.
We're going to keep this battle going in London, and we will win because the science is not on their side.
No, absolutely. It's that simple. 11 o'clock news coming up. After the 11 o'clock news is university. A waste of time. Longtime educator Lynn Lesser says you're the lesser for it if you go to university without really thinking through your game plan at a time when we need all these skilled workers that are screaming for them, and we don't have them. We'll be back with Lynn in just a moment right here.